Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Colossians chapter number 3, and let's jump into our Bible study this evening, gather together here. Colossians 3. I was last week, went over to Indiana. My dad lives over there. Mom and dad live about 3 hours away, and I had some power steering lines that needed replaced, and it was not going to be a fun job, and I really didn't want to pay a mechanic to do so. And so we went over there and tackled the job, and it was very, very tedious. But along the way, we watched some YouTube tutorials from people who had done it before and had done it successfully, and their car ran afterwards. And so we watched those because we wanted to know how we could do this and how we could do it successfully. And I'm glad we did, because there was even, as we get down to that power steering line coming into what is the rack and pinion, into what makes things steer, okay? There's these little filters. I mean, they're just little, and they need to be in there, and they need to go in there the right way. And you have to use a mirror to get them in there, and just all this craziness. But we watched that on those videos, tutorials, so that we know how to do it. Tonight's lesson from Colossians, Paul is teaching the Colossian believers, really, how do they live a life that promotes and pleases Jesus? How do you live a life that promotes and pleases Jesus? A lot of what Colossians is written about zeroes in on. How can you live a life that is unto all pleasing? And sometimes we need instruction just like this, even in the middle of the week, to learn how we can live a life that's pleasing to Christ. And so let's look at this, Colossians 3 and verse number 17. And just one verse this evening, probably not totally unfamiliar to you, Colossians 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's read that out loud together. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Our Lord, we ask you tonight to just guide our thoughts, and would you strengthen our hearts in your truth. Help us to learn to live lives that are promoting you everywhere we go and very pleasing to you. Lord, that was the prayer of the Apostle Paul for himself, and also for churches just like those that were at Colossae. And we pray that for Grace Baptist Church. We pray that for the children. We pray that for the teenagers. We pray that for us as adults. Lord, it's easy to live lives to please ourselves or to do our own will. But we do want to. We're here tonight because we want to please you. And so help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul is giving this instruction. This is how you do it. You watch tutorials, this is how you do it. This is what you need to do, this step, these things you need to keep in mind. This is a very clear verse, and whatsoever you do. I want us to realize, first of all, if you and I are going to live lives that promote and please Jesus, we need to make sure that we refuse a compartmentalized Christian life. What do I mean by that? Compartmentalized. You ladies love bags that have a bunch of different compartments in them, don't you? You love to have as many compartments inside of that bag, as many little places for you to hide things and put things. You love a compartmentalized bag. A compartmentalized life is one that is lived in different segments. And we need to refuse that when it comes to the Christian life. And whatsoever you do, I want you to notice that we are given here a whatsoever principle. This goes across all of our living. It matters not what day it is. It matters not where we are. This principle that God is giving us, this instruction, this how-to verse is to be lived out across every part of our being, every part of our thoughts, everywhere we go, inside of our house, in private, in public, it doesn't matter where, we are to live this out, a whatsoever principle. And you can find these throughout Scripture. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. God tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, everything that we do, that we put our hands to, that God gives us to do, we are to do it with our whole heart. But here he says, whatever you do, in word or deed, make sure it's done in the name of Jesus. So we have a whatsoever principle. Whatever words you use, whatever words you use. It's easy sometimes to let words go. Idle words the Bible talks about. He tells us that every idle word he takes account of. It's easy just to talk and ramble and go on about things, but whatever word, it's to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever deed, whatever action we do, whatever we do with our hands, wherever we go with our feet, whatever we are doing, whatever activity we're involved in, it is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. You might have come across a person that speaks about that and draws that into their life. Well, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I do this or whatever. We don't have to say that all the time, but certainly that needs to be the way that we go about life. We need to go about life in our words and our deeds in the name of the Lord Jesus, in His authority, with His blessing upon it, in a way that is thinking about Him. So a believer's life isn't to be compartmentalized. I'm not to have this part of my life that is done for my own pleasure and for the world's approval, and then this part of my life done to please Jesus. No, we're to have it all to be towards Christ. Romans 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Everything is to be towards Christ. Every part of our being is to be towards Him. Have you ever seen one of those Russian dolls? Those wooden Russian dolls? Yeah. What are they called? Nesting dolls. Very interesting. Okay, so a nesting doll. We don't have one, but I've seen them. And you just keep pulling them apart, and they just keep coming out. They're all these little compartments that inside of each other. And sometimes we might be a little bit like that, where we have this part of us that's our church part, this part of us that's our friends part, this part of us that is us at a sports activity, or this part of us that's at work. And the idea where we have all these different pieces of us, or the different ways that we go about life in these different places. We're not to be compartmentalized. We're not to be divided up. We're to be whole towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a believer can live a double life. In fact, if you read the book, The Sweet Side of Suffering, that I've given out and have mentioned recently, that book, the premise of that book was, here's a wife and a husband that were serving the Lord together, and after 30 years, she found out that her husband was living a double life, and it devastated her. Her world was rocked. It devastated everything. Believers can live double lives. We have to be aware of that. Listen, I mean, this is for all of us to take heed. And so we can't live a compartmentalized or a double life, the home life or the church life, the sports life, the work life, the when I'm around my friends or when I'm around my parents. Sometimes it's easy. Okay, and when I'm this with family, I'm this way. And when I'm with my church folks, I'm this way. We have to be the same everywhere, all towards Christ and in the name of Christ. You know, when we gather together, the church assembles, you know, 4 hours in a week if we attend all the services, 4, maybe 5 hours a week. That's just a snapshot. That's 5 hours out of 168 hours. There's a lot of hours outside when the church is dispersed into the community that we are to live towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I want to give us is two words to think about. You know, sacred refers to the things of God. And secular often refers to the things of this world. You and I don't have a sacred and secular life. As Christians, we have one life, and that is sacred. Everything is towards God. So the world very much expects us to have a secular and sacred life. In fact, that's what happens when many will, they'll attend church maybe on Easter or Christmas or whatever, and they think of it, when I'm at church, I got to do this. I got to talk the right way. I can't say certain words in church or whatever the case may be. I have my sacred life and my secular life. The thing that I'm around the people of God, when I'm around people that fear God, I have this part of my life and I have that part of my life, sacred and secular. But you and I as believers are to have one. It is to be all united in Christ. And if you take that same nesting doll illustration, it is to all be together in Christ. Your life and my life is in Christ. Now think about a couple of verses here. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the very fact that your life has been purchased, my life has been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, he calls us not to live unto ourselves, but to live unto him. That's a sacred life everywhere we go. That's a non-compartmentalized life. That's a non-double life. That's a singular life all towards him. And so the Lord needs to help with that, because it's very easy to receive pressure everywhere that we go. This world is good at pressuring us, isn't it? Very good at pressuring us. And your coworkers are good at pressuring you, or your family members are good at pressuring you into doing things that may you might not do otherwise. But we are to have a singular life towards him. Romans 6 and 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, notice that, into Christ. That's what happened at the moment of your salvation. If you're not saved here tonight, that's what can happen to you. That's what Jesus is offering. He's welcoming you into the body of Christ. He's welcoming you into him. And he says, as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ rose raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What's that new life? It's all towards him. I have a new purpose. It's all towards him. There's a song. I sing a new song since Jesus came, and serve a new master, and wear a new name, it talks about. And that's true for us. It's all towards him. We live a sacred life. Now, the question is, how good of a sacred life, or how pleasing of a sacred life do we live? But everything that we as believers are to live out is sacred. So one of the things that we should walk out of here tonight just thinking is, no matter where I am living towards Jesus Christ. In the privacy of my home, in those conversations, I'm living towards Jesus Christ. Everything is towards him. And we've all heard people that speak about the inconsistency of Christians. People in general are inconsistent. That's one of the things we deal with in our humanity. So it's not just Christians that deal with inconsistency, but it's hard when we, the people of God, don't live consistently, isn't it? It's hard for the world. And I just ask the Lord in response to even this point, Lord, help me to be consistent. Because just to be perfectly honest, as a pastor who preaches this, it's very easy for me to communicate truth that I know is true, but not be consistent in it in front of my kids. I need the Lord's help with that. And you need the Lord's help with being consistent just like I do. And so may the Lord help us with that so we can promote and please him everywhere we go, even in front of our kids. Even in front of our kids. So but let's go a little bit further. It needs to be identified life. He says, whatsoever you do, it doesn't matter what where you are, whatever you're doing, don't compartmentalize, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this is, we're to do it in identification with him. We are to do it as his children. We are to do it with his blessing. And everything we do, we are to identify with him. My life is to be done as a representative of Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. If the world knows that we're a Christian and we claim that, they're watching that. They're watching that very much. And so they know we're a representative of Christ. And if we act out of sorts, if we act contrary to God's word, they're going to pick up on that. And so won't our children. And so won't those around us pick up on that. So whether we're working, sleeping, playing, our relationships, our worship, our hanging out, our Facebook presence, our Instagram, whatever, social media, browsing, shopping, texting, wherever we are, spending, whatever it is to be done in identification with Jesus as a representative of him. Jesus came into our lives to drastically change us. Drastically. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, there's our word again, in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One author said, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, according to his command and in compliance with his authority, by strength derived from him and with an eye to his glory. It's not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to him. The reason I live, the reason I raise my children the way I do, the reason I witness to the lost, the reason I make that choice to do right in that moment is for his glory. And that's how our lives ought to be. So I already quoted this, but it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. That's a good verse to teach one another in our families. You pick up your toys to the glory of God. You honor and are respectful with your voice to the honor and glory of God. So, how many of you have been behind one of those semis on the road and you saw one of those "How's my driving" stickers? Have any of you ever called one of those "How's my driving" stickers? Right? Yeah, a few times to report it's not so good. But why do they put those on there? They put them on there to remind, one, give an avenue for the public to give feedback. But two, the result of that should be the person driving that vehicle should be more aware of their driving because of that sticker on the back. Now, some are just very oblivious to it. But it, yes, exactly, accountability. But it's a way for them to be more aware. Friends, you and I have the presence of the Lord Jesus on our lives. And if we've said that in our workplace, and I hope we have, It is an awareness that we ought to carry with us everywhere we go. An awareness. You know what? As simple as we live in a very tip-conscious culture, don't we? Everywhere. I think you need to give a tip at the gas station anymore. It's just about insane. But we live in a very tip-conscious culture. But you know, in some places, to not leave a tip for good service that is done can bring a bad name to the name of Jesus, especially you leave a tract. And I just remember, even in those moments, those little moments, I'm saying something about my relationship with Christ. And so we have to be conscious and aware of that everywhere we go. So we should test our activities. We should test our actions when we're out, shouldn't we? Test them. Can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I do this as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is this going to cause others to think about Christ? Now, I will say our world is perverting the actions and especially the love of Jesus Christ. You know, when Gavin Newsom governor of California, put out those billboards that say "Love your neighbor" and referring to abortion and coming over into their state, That is severe twisting of the scriptures, isn't it? It is wrong, and so we have to be careful not to be pressed into a mold by worldly theology. The world does not understand the scriptures, and is not the preachers of the scriptures. So we need to know where we stand on scripture and be able to stand up against that type of stuff if it comes up. But at the same time, we need to be aware. People are watching our lives, and we need to test our activities. Can I do this in the name of Jesus? Can I go to that event in the name of Jesus? Can I partake in that in the name of Jesus? Can I watch that in the name of Jesus? Whatever the case is, can I interact with that coworker in the name of Jesus in this way? Can I tell that joke in the name of Jesus? I mean, it gets down to the practical parts. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will throw down the flag in our lives if we cross that line, won't he? He will tell us when we've done something and that is not representing Christ well. He'll tell us. And we have to be listening for that very carefully. And I've had times in my own life where I've been involved in the conversation and the conversation just wasn't wholesome. It didn't edify, right? And the Holy Spirit throws down that flag and he says, that was not a good representation of Christ in that moment. Okay, now I need to go back and talk to somebody, right? Need to own up. The Lord is good to remind us of those things. So for a Christian, you've heard the term, that person wears a lot of hats. We can't apply that into our Christianity. We can't have our church hat and our at-work hat and our home hat We got to just have our Jesus hat. We have to have our everything is about Him. I boldly proclaim Him. And I also think, you know, when it comes down to the world in which we live, the political world is so divided. Friends, we don't serve a king. We want to influence. We want to promote righteousness and uphold righteousness. But we serve Jesus. That's who we serve. And that's what our lives are to be about. And as we watch more and more just the unveiling of those without morals, be careful that we don't hitch ourselves to something that is not Christ-like. Keep your stand. Which is always with Christ, and that'll allow you to be able to speak to the wrong that's going on right in front of you in our world. So test the activities, everything that you do. Another author said, whatever Christians do, they should remember who they are. They are Christ, and all their behavior should be consistent with bearing His name. All their behavior should be consistent with bearing His name. And boy, how we need that in this world. How we need that. But then number three, refuse this compartmentalized life, embrace this identified life, but pursue a grateful life. Isn't it amazing how much gratitude makes a difference? It really does, and it sets us apart. We live in a very ungrateful world. So much resources, but such ingratitude. It's amazing how much there is this I deserve this mentality. I was in Lowe's today, and I was looking in the light bulb section, and it looked like there was, you know, some stock up on top of the shelves that a worker was going to need to help get down. But evidently, they didn't have any stock in there. It said they did, but didn't show up there. And he made the comment, and he says, "Yeah, the five-finger discount must have gotten us." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, last year alone, we lost $1.7 million to theft here in this store. The Beaver Creek Lowe's, $1.7 million. He says every Walmart store loses $1.5 million. Every store individually loses $1.5 million to it walking right out the door. And I said, "Well, how do you deal with that?" And he goes, "We just have to watch it, because if we say something, it's automatically said discrimination, or we get a lawsuit on us." I said, this is shameful. But you know what this reminds us of? No matter who it is that's walking out of that store, no matter who it is that's walking out of that store, the reality is there's gotten this mindset, I deserve this. This store will do fine without it. I deserve this. And that's the culture in which is developing. And there's not much in our world to say no. The DAs, the district attorneys, and so on, there's not much to bring consequences to that. Theft is still wrong. Thou shalt not steal. That's what the Bible says. But man, in his ingratitude, says, "I deserve this. I've been given the, you know, a disadvantage. I deserve this." And that's not right. And so we find that ingratitude is one of the starts to a spiraling society. Romans chapter number 1 tells us that they were not grateful. They were not grateful to their Creator. And they didn't worship Him for who He was. And it was ingratitude that brought that, brought the Roman culture all the way down to through the spiral of sin, if you will, to getting to the point where they gave up their own lives because they were so frustrated. Suicide. But it was ingratitude that was at the start of that. Well, I'm just reminded right here in our passage, it says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, enabled by Him." What does He say? This is a whatsoever principle. We are to give thanks. We just learned on Sunday night. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this matter of thankfulness, and even teaching those around us thankfulness and encouraging one another to be thankful. It's one of the reasons it's kind of gotten into my mind is we come in here in the middle of the week. Oftentimes we're carrying burdens. What changes that in my life and it changes in your life is when we stop and give purposeful thanks to the Lord. I thank Him for giving me life today. I thank Him for my bed. Some people don't have beds. I thank Him for, and we give thanks back to Him. One author gave a great description of gratitude. Gratitude means thankfulness, counting your blessings, noticing simple pleasures, and acknowledging everything that you receive. It means learning to live your life as if everything were a miracle and being aware of a continuous basis of how much you've been given. Gratitude shifts your focus from what your life lacks to the abundance that is already present. To the abundance that is already present. We as Americans have so much. We as believers have so much. There's many living without any hope. Yet we have hope, and for us to go through life not thankful, it's a really sad thing. I imagine it grieves the Holy Spirit when we're not thankful. So thankfulness is more than saying thanks. It's living that out. It's a lifestyle thankfulness. And all of us can grow in that. The Lord's convicted me multiple times about a lack of gratitude and learning to say thank you, learning to write a note, and learning to send a text, and learning to say that, and just live a life of gratitude. And it's amazing how easy it is to receive things or just pass by blessings and not say thank you to the Lord. Colossians 3:15, and the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called into one body, and be ye thankful. He told them already, be ye thankful. Now, we might have the idea that these folks really were kind of interesting Christians, and maybe they struggled a little bit. Look back at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 2. Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ is writing to them with Timotheus. Timothy is still a sidekick in this at this time. Look at verse number 2. To the saints, the set apart ones, and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. These folks had a vibrant Christian testimony. These folks loved the Lord. They were set apart. That's what salvation does to us. It sets us apart unto Christ. They're saints in Christ. But he says, faithful brethren. These were exemplary Christians, and he's yet telling them, you make sure that you're thankful. And we need to be reminded in the same way. How many of you know the name Eddie Rickenbacker? Does that name ring a bell? He was born in this area, I believe, in Columbus, if I understand. Rickenbacker, yeah. 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 So there's a story of him that's told he died in 1973, but he would go out to eastern shore of Florida just on his own. He was pretty old at this point, but he'd go out with a bucket of shrimp, and he would feed the seagulls. Any of you have heard the story? He'd feed the seagulls every Friday night, right before the sun would set. He'd go out there and feed the seagulls. And well, evidently, this started when during the war he was a pilot. He's on a mission in a B-17. He was to deliver a very important message to General MacArthur in New Guinea. And there was an unexpected detour that had come up, and so they ran low on fuel and ended up having to abandon the plane. It went down. And so for nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions were in the water. They were in rafts, not big rafts, but they endured the weather, scorching hot sun. In the night, they were constantly being bombarded by sharks out in the ocean. And some of these sharks were larger than their rafts, and they'd prod them off. And the biggest shark they saw was 10 foot long, it said. One of the enemies at sea is obviously going to be hunger, not having the food to go on. 8 days out, their rations were long gone. They were destroyed by salt water. It was a struggle for them to live. So they at one time one of the guys read a Bible verse, and they had a service and prayer together there as they were continuing to just try to survive for their life. It was interesting. After they had sung prayed a prayer of deliverance and a hymn of praise, they drifted off to sleep, and they were even asking, just, Lord, please deliver us. But they drifted off to sleep partly just because it was so hot. And one of them, Eddie, had his hat over his head, as I understand. And so what happened is a seagull landed on his hat. And he realized that something landed on his hat. He said, boy, I knew it was. I couldn't see it, but I could see under my hat. And the other guys were kind of eyeing this thing. And they're like, wow, this is food. And so he ended up catching the seagull, and the rest is history. They ate the meat and used the intestines for, fish bait. And that bird ended up sustaining them. So, hence is the story that in response to that, once they were rescued, and he would go out to the eastern shore of Florida, and he would feed the seagulls shrimp in Thanksgiving for what that bird had given them while they were out on the water. And that's a really nice picture of living a life of Thanksgiving. Giving back to the Lord Jesus because of his sacrifice for us. And in everywhere we are, no matter what we're doing, giving back to him, just saying thank you with our own life. And isn't that what Romans 12 tells us? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him. And that's what we ought to do. So we need to embrace that lifestyle of gratitude and give back to him. So how do we promote and please Jesus? Well, we can't live a compartmentalized life. We have to make sure that we are identifying with him in everything that we do and say. And we need to live a grateful life. Your grateful life, your grateful words will make a huge difference in the world around you. It makes a difference in your own life. It changes the tone of your heart. And so may the Lord help us with that. Could we pray and ask the Lord to help us? Let's do so. Father, thank you for giving instruction to the Colossian believers on how they could live a life that pleases you. So simple, but sometimes so hard for us. We struggle with these things. Lord, just these 3 points alone, if we would just work to put them in practice this week, we will face struggle. We need your help. And by your Holy Spirit, would you give us the strength to live a life that's full and complete towards you, not compartmentalized, not double in any way, but all towards you. Lord, one that identifies with you. There's no doubt that we're identified, we're standing squarely with you in whatever we say and do. And Lord, that we're grateful. Help us, we pray. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.